So, so the Hope Center, we want you to know that we have brochures there in the back. I got some hanging out on me, on the other side of me. It's good to have a wife that cherishes me. Can I take this off? All right. So the Hope Center, we want you to know that we're so grateful for the opportunity to be here. If you're ever interested in the Hope Center, or just contacting Angie and I, our emails are up there. My cell phone is up there as well. We have brochures in the back. We even have masks with the Hope Center on that's in the back for your taking. So we really, again, appreciate all that you have done. And if you want, go ahead and take a picture. That's what my wife said. Everybody ain't like you taking pictures, but go ahead and take a picture. And so on the on the next slide is our family. I've been saying that I will show you who our family is. You already know the person in the middle. That's just the way the family is right there. That tells you everything right then and there, who's in position. She is cherished. She is the queen right there. You know? And so you'll see Nia is the baby girl. Imani is the princess of the family. Malachi is the firstborn. Next to Malachi is Isaiah. We call him the boom or cheese. It all depends. Next to me is Micah, the third-born son, his wife, Janessa, and, of course, the queen in the middle. And so that's the Daniels family. And so we're grateful for the opportunity to be gathered here today. And so, again, I do want to say thank you. Thank you for the privilege of allowing us to engage in relationship, to have conversations together, and just welcoming us into the Northern Pines family. And I promise, if the Lord wills, that we will be back here just enjoying family time with all the rest of you. So we're grateful for that. You can't be throwing me off by, you know, all right. I want to talk to you today about a question that comes from Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 23 is our context tonight. And the question is, are you the one? This question really stirs me, but I'll share a little bit more why it stirs me. In Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 18, we're told that John's disciples had told him all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask you, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to John's messengers and said, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard, that the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." I want to make three observations from this text to you tonight. The first thing is, our expectation of God can cause our frustration with God, which can lead to desertion from God. Our expectation of God can cause our frustration with God, which can also lead to a desertion from God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for giving me the privilege of sharing with my brothers and sisters in Christ gathered together here tonight. God, we just ask as we open your word that you would open your mouth and that you would encourage, challenge, enrich our hearts from your word. Thank you, Lord God, for the word that gives us life. And as I pray so many times before, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, first and foremost, since you're my ultimate audience, and then to my brothers and sisters who are gathered together tonight. For it's in Jesus' name, And together we say. Hey, listen, y'all. Many of us have expectations in life, right? I mean, I expect if I go to work, I ought to get paid. Amen? If I'm paying my light bill, I expect when I get home, my lights will be on, right? I expect that if the Bible tells me to draw near to God, that God would draw near to me. I expect that if my wife come out of the bathroom smelling like the Bath and Body products, particularly a cucumber melon, and as her skin is glistening, and as she's coming to bed and she says good night, I expect it's about to be. I expect that. But sometimes, you know, our expectations are not met. For instance, when people say, Marvin, you got to go check out this movie, and I go see that movie, and it's not really as good as they say it is. It doesn't meet my expectations. Or when you go to a kitchen, and something in the kitchen is smelling good, but it doesn't taste good. Or when you've been tithing, and you think that, God, I've been faithfully tithing, and that I expect him to be able to bless me because of it. Or there might be young ladies here today that said, man, I have seen this guy and he looks like we can have a future together. He has the muscles all in the right places. And you begin to think that this could be my future spouse, at least until he opens his mouth. And then the deal is over. We all have expectations. And sometimes those expectations that we have might not be met or cannot be met. And those expectations could lead to frustration. And in Luke chapter 7, we find that John the Baptist is in prison. According to Luke chapter 3, some brief background, in Luke chapter 3, verse 19, and Matthew chapter 11, verse 1 through 11, John is in prison because he was speaking against the immoral decisions of Herod. We told in Luke chapter 3, verse 19, but when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch, a Tetrarch was a Roman prince or governor, because of his marriage to Herodias, who was his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added to them all, that is, all the rebukes, all his calls to repentance, and locked John up in prison. John was a thorn in Herod's side. And it got him put in prison in lockdown. And so John's disciples visit him and they come to him to tell him all the things that Jesus was doing. All what things? Well, according to John chapter 17, verses 1 through 11, that Jesus goes to Capernaum, and as he's there he's met by some of the elders of the Jewish community to share with him that the centurion who paid for the temple to be rebuilt, his servant is sick and near death. And so this centurion servant is being pleaded for on behalf of by these Roman officials and priests to be able to come and have Jesus come to his home and to heal his servant. We're told that as Jesus is approaching his home and he's halfway, that he sends another delegation and he says to Jesus, look, I'm a man of authority. I have several servants that are under my authority. And when I tell them to do something, they go and do it because they are under my authority. And so he says, if you just say the word, you don't even have to show up at my house. If you just say the word, then my servant will be healed. And Jesus responds, I haven't even seen such great faith in Israel. And as the delegation goes back to the centurion's home, the servant is healed. And then we find that Jesus now goes to the small town in Nain. There's a funeral procession that is taking place for a widow who has lost her only son. And so as the funeral procession is taking place and they're going forth, Jesus shows up and Jesus tells the pallbearers to lower the casket. Jesus tells the young man to get up, and the young man rises up. And people are astonished. I guess so, right? I mean, when you have somebody that you're about to put on inside the grave, and then all of a sudden Jesus shows up and they wake up as if they're just coming out of a nap, you too would be surprised. And matter of fact, the scripture says there was great awe all throughout the region. And so John's disciples are sharing this with John, who's locked down in prison. And John, who was in prison, might have felt, that's great what the Messiah is doing. That's great what Jesus is doing for everybody else. But have you ever felt like, what about me? I'm on lockdown. I'm in prison. Jesus, I expect you to come and show up for your boy. Show up for me. And Jesus does it. And so John, expectation leads to this frustration that's within him. And I call it a frustration because of the question. Calling two of his disciples, since there were more of them, verse 19, he sent them to the Lord to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Now, this is John, y'all. I'm shocked about the question because this question stirs my soul. Now, if it was a deacon from my church, I could expect that. If it comes from Marvin Daniels in the question, I could expect that. If it comes from a famous author, I could expect that. If it was the famous scholar C.S. Lewis asking the question, I wouldn't be shocked. But this is John, y'all. This is John the Baptist. This is John in Luke chapter 1, verse 15, that we told were filled with the Spirit. This is John in Luke chapter 1, verse 41, who leaped in his mother's womb at the very presence of Jesus in Mary's womb. This is John in Luke chapter 3, verse 15, where everybody says, he's the Messiah. And Luke, John says, no, I'm not the Messiah. Matter of fact, I cannot even tie his sandals. I'm not worthy. This is John in Luke chapter 3, verse 21, who baptizes Jesus in the River Jordan. So if his question was just coming from Marvin, that's one thing, but it's coming from John. And John's asked this question. You go ask the Lord, are you the one? Or should I be looking for somebody else? Anybody here ever asked that question? You ever been in your spiritual journey where that question came up for you? I remember I had just moved to Chicago. I didn't even meet Angie yet. I just accepted the position to work as the program manager at the Salvation Army. And so everything that I owned was in about three large boxes. I left seminary, I finished graduating seminary, Nazarene Theological Seminary, and now I was on my way to Chicago. And I was going to work there at the Salvation Army Midwest Corps right there by the Henry Horner Rockwell Gardens Housing Project community. I was looking forward to it. And so prior to going to work, I had an apartment that was nearby, and I took all my boxes and I put them in the apartment. And then I went to the store and I got a few little groceries, put them in the refrigerator, and then I went on to work. And I stayed there a little bit late because I was getting to know people. I was getting to know, get acclimated with the job I was supposed to do and the building that I was serving in. And when I got home, it was late at night, and I opened my door on my apartment, and I walk in, and I noticed that my boxes that I had laid out there wasn't there. So I closed the apartment door just to make sure I had the right apartment. And I walk back in, and I stand there, and I say, I've been robbed. They took my stuff. And so as I was walking in the spirit, I walked to the refrigerator because I was just going to go ahead and fix me a sandwich and get something to drink real quick just to get my thoughts. And I opened the refrigerator, and all my bologna and cheese was gone, my bread was gone, and I had a gallon of apple juice, and these guys left like a drop of apple juice in my jar. And y'all, I started to lose it at that point because I began to look at them sitting on my boxes, making themselves some sandwiches, drinking my juice, talking about how they about to rob me. And I got so angry, y'all, that I was just so frustrated, so devastated that somebody actually robbed me and then ate my food and then left a little. You know what it's like, how you feel when somebody drunk everything and they leave a drop for you. And so as I was losing it, there was a phrase that I would say when I would preach to people about ownership. I said, remember, if you own something that you can't give up anytime, any place, anywhere, you don't own it. It owns you. And I said, shut up. Ain't nobody want to hear that. I'm just being honest. I grabbed the metal rod that was holding up my shower. I grabbed that and I went to door in that apartment building, y'all. I'm just being honest. And I tell you, if somebody would have opened that door and had my stuff, I would have been in a whole different ministry than what I am in right now. And I go downstairs and I go next door where there was this little restaurant at. I ordered me a Country Time lemonade and a cheeseburger with fried onions, and I'm sitting there and I'm saying, Lord, this don't make no sense. I might have added a few adjectives to that. But I said, is this how you treat me? I came here to serve you. I came here because I thought you called me here. And this is how you gonna allow this to happen? For the very first time in my life, all I had on was all I had on. They took everything. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, are you the one? Oh, should I be really looking for somebody else? Am I by myself tonight? You know how we feel about that? Have you ever had that experience that, God, I expected you to cover me, to protect me. I've been faithful to you. I came to serve you. And I'm wondering, have you left me? Are you the one? Or should I be looking for somebody else? Somebody later on reminded me, Marvin, you do work at the Salvation Army. They'll hook you up at the thrift store. They ain't the same, though. No. Have your expectations of God ever led you to a frustration with God? Verse 20, it says, when the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Verse 21 said, at that very time, some translations say, at that very moment, Jesus was curing many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers of John, you go back and report to John what you have seen and what you have heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is proclaimed to the poor. Jesus says to John's disciples, you go back and tell them that Isaiah chapter 61, the prophet Isaiah had prophesied in Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2 what Jesus was going to do. That's 738 years prior to this moment. And Jesus fulfills it. So he says, you go back and you tell John. You know what? When we frustrated with God, when we feel like God has abandoned us, we need some brothers and sisters around us to come back and remind us of what we've seen and heard, to remind us of what God has done before. And if he did it before, he can do it again on our behalf. That we need to have brothers and sisters to remind us of the God that we serve and the God that we love and the one that loves us. Because there are times when that darkness creeps in into our hearts, into our minds, and we need to have somebody else's voice because ours have grown cold and silent. And so they go back to tell John what they have seen and what they have heard. Why? Because expectation of God can cause our frustration with God, which can lead to a desertion from God. So Jesus addresses John and everybody else when they have a temptation to desert. Verse 23, powerful. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. That word stumble means to be offended by, to cause to sin, to be hindered, or to fall away. He says, blessed are you, even if your expectation of me is not met, that you're still willing to trust me. When I was in seminary, that summer, I was taking a class on the doctrine of holiness by Dr. Will Grider. And that summer, it was hot. You know, it was a July day, and I had left class, and it was hot. I was starting to perspire. My mouth was dry. And so I was going to go to a place called The Landing where there was a grocery store. And I'm a cranberry juice drinker, so I was going to go and get me a cranberry juice. So I do. I go into the store. I go back where the cranberry juices are, and everybody knows the coldest drink is the one that's in the very, very back. So I reach all the way to the very, very back, get the coldest cranberry juice, and I'm anticipating this baby. And I go and I put it on the counter. And as I do that, I go into my back pocket and I reach out for my wallet, and all of a sudden I just heard an echo. I mean, there was nothing in this thing. And so I said, hey, sir, hold on a second. I'm going to come back for this. I just need to run around the corner to the ATM machine just to get some money, and I'll be right back. And so I go to the ATM machine, and I promise y'all, I put my card in the ATM machine, and I put my numbers in, and it threw it back at me and said, Peter, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? You know, I was, for the very first time at that moment, I recognized, man, I'm broke. I've been working, I didn't get paid yet, but I'm broke, nothing in my account, and I'm disappointed, my mouth's still dry, and I'm anticipating this cranberry juice, and so I just leave, and I'm walking home, and I'm angry. I'm angry with everybody, I'm angry with God, I'm angry with the machine, and as I'm walking home, I see these drug dealers on the corner. And I pause just for a moment, and I have a conversation with myself. You know, you should just ask him if you can make a quick delivery for $50. You'll never, ever do it again. You'll never use it in a sermon. No one will ever know. You know, and I'm having this conversation with myself. And finally, I just hear the Lord just speaking to me, and I'm saying, well, it's your fault in the first place. I'm even thinking about this. I'm broke, and I've been going out for jobs. I've been denied jobs. But it's your fault, God, in the first place. And finally, a court took captive of those thoughts in my mind. And I continued on to my apartment. And I was staying on this apartment behind somebody else's house. And so you had to climb these stairs. And I was still angry, you know, that I'm still broke and I'm still thirsty. You know, it was a terrible combination. And I go up the stairs, and these cats used to always sit on those stairs behind me on my patio there. And so I was just so angry, I made them jump. I wouldn't even let them come by me. I just made them jump off there. And as I was going into my door, I opened it up, and there's a bag of grocery in my door. And then there's a card that I see. I reach into the card. I open it up. There's a crisp $100 bill in it, and it said, we were just thinking about you. No signature, no name, but we just thinking about you. And I said to myself, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me for, forgive me that I wasn't willing to trust you even in the midst of those times. Because that moment, it's in the very moments of life where you face to face with your own trials, you face to face with your own temptations. And God says, be careful of your presuppositions of who you think I should be. God is not concerned about how we feel about him. He's more concerned on we willing to trust him. Jesus says, blessed are you if you're willing to trust me and not sin because of your expectation of me. Marvin, are you willing to trust me? How do you respond when it seems like God has gone AWOL on your prayers? How do you respond when you feel like, Lord, I want to trust you, but I can't hear you? Or you don't seem to come when I need you or want you? Isaiah chapter 8, verse 17. Isaiah said these words. I will wait for the Lord who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob, but I will put my trust in him. So Northern Pines community, Northern Pines family, I just want to encourage you with these words. If you feel that Jesus has abandoned your prayers, blessed are you if you're willing to trust him in spite of your expectation of him. If you're struggling with anger because God did not respond the way you expected him to respond, blessed are you if you're willing to trust him in spite of your expectation of him. If you thought the person that you were dating was the person that you were going to marry, but all of a sudden your relationship ended, blessed are you if you're willing to trust him in spite of your expectation of him. When your money that you expected did not show up or come through, blessed are you if you're willing to trust him in spite of your expectation of him. When you've been let go of a job that you've been serving faithfully at, blessed are you if you're willing to trust him in spite of your expectation of him. If you're single today and you've been faithful and you've been faithful to be single and single in your purity, but right now your biological clock is ticking and everybody's starting to look good to you, blessed are you if you're willing to trust him in spite of your expectation of him. Luke just wanted us to understand that God doesn't conform to our expectations, but instead he reveals our levels of trust in him. Job 23, verses 8 through 10, and Tim, you and the worship team can prepare to come up. He said, but if I go to the east, he's not there. And if I go to the west, Job said, I do not find him. But when he is at work at the north, I still do not see him. When he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. But he knows the way that I take. And when he has tested me, I will come forth as pure gold. North Pines community, Jesus is the one. We don't need to look for anybody else. Will you turn to the person next to you and say, he is the one. We don't need anybody else. Lord, thank you so much for this moment. We bless you. We praise you that you are the one. You are our plan A. We don't need a plan B. You are the one that we can trust. You are the one we can depend on. And even in those times when we're tested, when we're tempted, when we have trials, when we're wavering, Lord God, in our trust, when we're struggling with you, when we're crying out to you and you seem to be silent and all we hear is echoes in heaven, God, help us to trust you during those moments because we believe you are the one. And you told us we will be blessed if we're willing to trust you in spite of our expectation of you. We hold on to that truth, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And together, North Pines family says, amen. Amen. Let's stand together and worship. Let's stand together and worship.